Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is on the air because truth matters. To get on today's program, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We have been holding Harold Camping's feet to the fire, quite literally, over the last 200 days, doing a countdown on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Now we are only a couple of days away from the day that Harold Camping says that Holy God will bring judgment on the world. That date, May 21st, 2011. Well, here we are, May 19th, 2011. And as I've shared with our audience, Camping begins with the premise that Noah's flood began on the 17th day of the second month in the year 4990 BC. And then he proceeds with the premise that 2 Peter teaches that one day is as 1,000 years, and that's how he came up with his date of May 21st, 2011. But I should mention today that this is not the only way that he comes up with dates. In fact, he has what he calls a beautiful matrix. And it's a means by which he is now seeking to justify his date setting. So we've heard about the 7,000 years from 4,990, but what we haven't heard is that he makes a calculation based on 5 times 10 times 17 times 5 times 10 times 17, which equals 722,500 days. 722,500 days. And that is the time frame, supposedly, between the crucifixion of Christ and the rapture that will take 200 million believers out of the world. And again, let me emphasize that he is saying there's no plan B. If you don't believe him, you're not going to be raptured. If you're not raptured, you're not saved. Now, a lot of people might think that I'm just making this stuff up. So I decided to let you hear the self-evident folly that literally thousands of people are falling for with your own ears.
I've learned that through studying that a larger number can be broken down into its significant numbers. 5 times 10 times 17 times 5 times 10 times 17. And those are dramatically significant numbers. 5 is the number of the gospel of atonement. Number 10, completeness. 17 is the catching up, the finishing, when we are raptured. 17. 5 times 10 times 17. And then it's doubled because that shows that it absolutely is going to come to pass and will come shortly to pass.
And one more time. 5 times 10 times 17 times 5 times 10 times 17 equals
722,500. Which are the number of days inclusively from April 1, 33 AD, and May 21, 2011, when the rapture occurs.
There's so many things I could say about this, including the fact that he believes April 1, 33 was a Wednesday. If you look at the Gospels, they tell us unanimously that Jesus Christ died and was buried the day before the Sabbath, or Friday, and rose on the day after the Sabbath, or Sunday. But I don't think I'm going to take a lot of time today to undress what is self-evidently silly. But once again, we're going to underscore this because camping is just the first in a long parade of false prophets who are setting dates with respect to the secret rapture of Jesus Christ. Now, Camping, to his credit, is not calling this a secret rapture. He is making clear that we're all going to know about it. So when we come back into the studio on Monday, we will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Harold Camping is a false prophet. But we don't have to wait. We already know that today. He's used this numerology, which is the glue that holds his mysticism together, for many, many years. And one should recall that it was Harold Camping who wrote a very thick volume suggesting that when September 6, 1994 arrives, no one else would be saved. Again, we're holding Harold Camping's feet to the fire. One other note, we'll go to our callers. It seems incredible to me that this man could have continued to prosper after he was demonstratively proven to be a false prophet. He now has a $100 million empire. He continues to get away with the lie. And it's your responsibility as a Christian to become so familiar with truth that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. One thing I can tell you beyond the peradventure of a doubt, there is no one on the planet that knows when Jesus Christ is going to return. Not one single person. No one knows. We do know that Jesus will appear a second time, but no one knows when. So again, the admonition, be prepared. He could come in the next millisecond. And prepare as though his coming is a long way off. Those who have given up families and homes and jobs and futures on the basis of Harold Camping's calculations are doing exactly the opposite of what we're called to do, which is to occupy, to make a difference, to prepare for the education of our children, to equip ourselves to always be ready to give an answer. Those who have fallen for the lie have also abdicated their responsibility. Let's go to the phone lines. First up today is Paul. He's listening in Maryland. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, my question to you is, with the death of Osama bin Laden a couple weeks ago, a question has resurfaced for me, and I've also had family members, okay, that are non-Christians, also ask the question. And the question I have for you today is, where was God on September 11th? And if you have any resources or teachings that would help facilitate, you know, my learning in terms of how I'm to witness to non-Christians, okay, around that subject.
Yeah, well, God was on the throne September 11, 9/11, 2001. God was just as available to us then as he is this very moment. But as Christians, we have to recognize a singular truth. And that truth is simply this. Were God to eradicate all evil from the world, he would eradicate you and I from the world. For all of us are sinful to one degree or another. The Bible says our hearts are desperately wicked. And therefore, God in his mercy has given us the opportunity to be covered with the splendid white robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he has determined a time in which he will quarantine evil. And that time has not yet arrived. In the meantime, the Bible teaches us that the wheat and the tares will grow up together. The separation is yet future. And I think we should remember that while the Creator made evil possible by granting us freedom of choice, it is humanity that has actualized that evil. It could be popular to refer to terrorist acts as unthinkable, and that's what we do. But the history of humanity graphically demonstrates that there is virtually no limit to the evil that lurks within the human heart. And as such, I think September 11 should serve as a potent reminder of the human condition and remind us of our need for a Savior. So when I think about September 11, 2001, I pray again that the images of blazing fire, the images of billowing smoke, those pictures that emanated from New York and Washington will arouse Christians from lethargy, will renew our passion to rescue the perishing from an inferno that will never be quenched.
Okay.
So ultimately, this is about learning to have an eternal perspective. In the meantime, God will allow the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And we should be reminded of the words of Christ regarding those who perished when the Tower of Siloam crashed down upon their heads. Remember what he said? He said, "Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will perish." So all of this should be one more warning of God that the real problem is not to die in an inferno. The real problem is to be separated from God for all eternity, which is an eternal inferno.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Hey, Hank, any resources that you would recommend to facilitate my understanding?
Well, I've written a couple of things that might be helpful to you. One is I did an actual practical apologetics piece in a journal. Of course, that's many years ago, but I think it's still available.
Mm-hmm.
It may be available on the web, but we can certainly send it to you. But there's an entry in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition as well, that addresses the question, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people?
Okay.
Which is a question that's asked over and over again. And quite frankly, there's a problem with the premise of the question. And we should recognize, as I point out in that entry, that there are only three basic answers. The answers found in pantheism, philosophical naturalism, and theism. And what's interesting about that is pantheism denies the existence of good and evil because in that worldview, God is all and all is God. Philosophical naturalism, which is the worldview that undergirds evolutionism, supposes that everything is a function of random processes. Thus, there is no such thing as good and evil. That leaves us with theism, and only Christian theism, which can answer the question satisfactorily. And again, as I mentioned earlier, the basic answer is that God created the potential for evil by granting human beings freedom of choice. Human beings actualized that evil by their choices. The good news is that out of all of this will come the best of all possible worlds. The fact that God created the potential for evil by granting us freedom of choice will lead to a world in which there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. So those who choose Christ will be redeemed from evil by his goodness, and will forever be able not to sin.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Hank. That's a huge help. So you recommend the Complete Bible Book?
It's called the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute.
Gotcha. Hey, Hank. Thanks a million.
You got it. I want to mention that the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, personalized, is available for your gift of $100 or more to continue this broadcast as it circles the world. If you can make a donation of $100 or more, I'll be happy to personalize a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Also, when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, those are people who give $15 a month or $25 a month or $100 a month, whatever the Lord leads them to give. When you join the monthly support team, I'll send you the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as well. Also want to mention that we're going on a cruise. And on that cruise, we're going to be talking about the issue of origins, how one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. If you believe that you're a function of random chance, that you arose from the primordial slime, you're going to live your life by a different standard than if you know that you are created in the image of God and are accountable to Him. The truth of the matter is this. The evolutionary paradigm can no longer stand. Why? We live in an age of scientific enlightenment. We'll be talking about that on the cruise. We'll be talking about the age of the universe on the cruise. We'll be talking about how you can read the Bible for all it's worth on the cruise. We'll be equipping you to always be ready to give an answer on the cruise. If you want to join us on the cruise, it's to Alaska. Go to the web, click on the ship. We'll be right back.
Get connected with the Christian Research Institute. Just go to equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. When you receive our e-newsletter, you'll be informed of special discounts, well-researched articles, videos, featured resources, and everything you need to keep you up to date with all that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. So get connected today. Again, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a moment.
Who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The debate between human freedom and determinism has been raging for centuries. Gain a biblical perspective on human nature in John S. Hammett's article entitled Between Radical Freedom and Total Determinism. The information age has many benefits, but it also has a dark side, information overload. Learn how to navigate through cyberspace with James Patrick Holding's article, The Mesmerizing Misinformation Maelstrom. Other topics include problems with the gold plates of the Book of Mormon, the legacy of G.K. Chesterton and Dorothy Sayers, Jesus, the begotten Son of the Father, and much more, as well as the insightful Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Investors are concerned that there's more bad news.
Calling for an end to U.S. military operations.
The world is glued to the news headlines, anxiously awaiting what the future holds. So it's up to believers in Christ to be prepared to give well-reasoned answers about what lies ahead, based on sound Bible doctrine.
That's why The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff is such a vital resource for your library. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions and reveals why answering them correctly matters so much in today's world. The Apocalypse Code will resolve many questions regarding the mysteries of the end times and help you give an informed answer for the hope that is in you. All you really need to know about understanding Revelation is what the rest of the Bible has to say. So order your copy of The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff, now available in softcover. To order, call 888-7000-CRI or look online at equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
Many people throughout history have declared themselves the Messiah. So how can we be sure that Jesus is, in fact, the one and only Messiah? In Hank Hanegraaff's newest booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, Hank gives seven salient and memorable points of messianic identification that leave no doubt Jesus is the one. In appreciation of your generosity and prayers this month, we'd like to send you Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, to give you the assurance that Jesus Christ alone could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. Donate to the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or by going to equip.org. Let's get back now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
The prophets identified Messiah with such specificity that only one could emerge. His ancestry marked thousands of years prior to his birth. His birthplace, likewise foretold. The circumstances surrounding his death, prophesied in minute detail before crucifixion was ever invented. The date of his visitation predicted within historically narrow time parameters. He was an extraordinary miracle worker. He would fulfill the law and the prophets and be a light to the Gentiles so that salvation would go out to the ends of the earth. The prophecies concerning him are simply so precise that the probabilities of someone fulfilling them by chance simply do not exist. No mere mortal can write history prior to the fact. God and God alone could have etched Christ's portrait in the Old Testament and then cause it to come to flesh in the New. Again, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, a memorable means by which you can demonstrate that Jesus is, in fact, the Christ, and in doing so, be a testimony with respect to genuine prophecy, demonstrating that you can stake your life on the Christ, the paragon of virtue, who not only spoke and the universe leapt into existence, but has come to redeem us so that we can inhabit a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for a husband. Again, the booklet available, you can order online at equip.org for your gift. We'll send you Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy. We'll go back to your calls in just a few moments. I want to talk now to a friend named Dr. Jay Strack. Jay Strack is president and founder of Student Leadership University. It's the premier global leadership training for students. When I say that, I'm saying that from my own practical experience, not only as a participant and speaker, but as the father of 12 children, a majority now of whom have experienced Student Leadership University. Student Leadership University is for the motivated Christian teenager, a teenager seeking training that is solidly based upon Scripture so that their lives might count for time and for eternity. And here's what happens. Involvement produces commitment. You get around other kids who don't want to simply mark time but want to make a difference. And the impact on your kids, phenomenal. They learn leadership principles that will be with them for the remainder of their lives. They'll be changed not only, but they'll become change agents. Dr. Jay Strack, always good to have you on the broadcast.
Well, thank you, Dr. Hank. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, and this is an opportunity to talk about how to change a generation of kids that, unfortunately, Jay, are flooding out of the church rather than into the church.
Well, without question, buddy. And, you know, Hank, years ago, you're the one who helped me really begin to sit down and think through how do we stop this exodus when some of our best and brightest, you know, years ago I wrote a book called Why Good Kids from Good Homes Make Bad Choices. And then that led to what happened, why the majority, and whatever stat you choose, Hank, and there's three or four floating around, and it goes from anywhere from any 78% up to what Josh McDowell is now teaching, some 90% of those, once they leave home, once they leave the youth group, and once they are on their own, whether marriage, military, or college, are ceasing to be actively involved in church and growing in their faith. And so when you look at how much emphasis we put on our schools and youth groups, I think all of us decided it was time to change our strategy. Churchill said, no matter how beautiful your strategy, occasionally you must look at the results. Mm. And the results are that even though some of our best intentions, we're not really equipping our students to think and to dream and to lead. You know, we tell them what to think, but, Hank, not how to think. And that's one of the things I've loved so much and appreciate about your involvement with student leadership is, you know, you help us motivate students to not only memorize Scripture, but know what they believe and why they believe it. It's not just mom and dad's faith, but it's their faith. And so when Dr. Doolittle walks out or Dr. Wine and Cheese and he tries to gut the Scripture or cast doubt, that our young people are prepared. And not only prepared with a dynamic understanding of apologetics and Christian worldview, but they understand that their role is to be a leader, an influencer. And so that's really what student leadership is about. How do we reverse those stats where the majority of our most cherished possessions, even though they're a long way from us, and Hank, you know that, you've gone through it, your children now, some living in California, and many of them, quite a few of them off at universities and mission trips around the world, when they're away from home, we better make sure that we've prepared them for what lies ahead.
I want you to take a moment, Jay, and speak directly to parents of students. Talk to them about the fact that this is not just an activity, but this is axiomatic in terms of reaching the world for Christ, making a difference, making certain that our children as Christians are bringing up the rear, but they're leading on the forefront of the battle.
Well said. Thank you, buddy. Well, Hank, what Student Leadership University is we take students Monday through Thursday. We do it five different weeks this summer, starting June 13th. So every Monday, all the way through the end of July. And we take those students for those 4.5 days, and we teach them the rules and tools of leadership. And so this is for middle school and high school students. We have youth groups that come. We have youth groups that bring their 12 most committed students. And then we have some churches that will bring their 4 or 5. We have a lot of folks. I think the first time you were with us, we had families coming from California and Washington and Canada where parents would come down with their teenagers and actually go through the week. But this is 4 days set aside to help our students learn how to think, how to dream, and how to lead. So we teach them time management, we teach them goal setting, we teach them people skills, but it's very interactive. We call it EPIC, you know, experiential, participatory, image-rich, and community-connected, where we'll take them to the shark tank at SeaWorld, and with 70 sharks swimming in the background, we teach them not all hammerheads are in the water, but we also teach them it's a shark-eat-shark world. And then we teach them that you have to earn trust. How do you get with the whale trainers techniques at SeaWorld? How do you get in the water with a 5-ton killer whale? Well, you have to earn that whale's trust. The trainer has to trust the whale, and the whale has to trust the trainer. And a lot of teenagers think to mom and dad or youth pastor or whoever, you've got to trust me, but they don't understand you've got to earn that trust. So what this is simply taking what most adults in corporate America are learning through billions of dollars worth of trainings that companies do with conferences and retreats and training sessions, and we're teaching that to middle school and high school students. But you can't be a part of student leadership as a speaker unless you're considered a very effective youth communicator. You're very passionate. You love teenagers. So we have a corporate environment. It's not a camp. It's at a four-star hotel in Orlando and San Antonio. And we take those middle school and high school students, and we not only teach them leadership, but then, Hank, and again, I want to give thanks for things to do. You're one of the ones who said, Jay, you can't just prepare them to be leaders. You got to make sure they have a grasp on a Christian worldview, that they understand and own what they believe. And so we have various PhDs, and of course, Hank, you know, your fingerprints are all over student leadership. In fact, Martin Luther King weekend, we're even doing a Hank Hanegraaff four-day session for, you know, featuring you. So what we try to do is give them the leadership tools, but yet also Christian worldview. And like you said, they're going to be sitting in the room with 200 or 300 other middle school and high school students who think it's cool to be a follower of Jesus. They think it's cool to be a leader, and they think it's cool to care about your grades, care about your family, and want to change the world.
How can people get involved? Obviously, we have a link through our website on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Is there a direct way that people can get the information, get involved?
Well, thanks, Hank. Studentleadership.net. Studentleadership.net is our website. And there's also a 888 number, 888-260-2900, 888-260-2900, extension 20. And we'll take the information and then find out the best way the parents want us to communicate with them, either email, mail, or by phone, and give them the information. But if they go to our website, studentleadership.net, they'll see the different weeks that we do it in Orlando starting June 13th. All the way through the end of July, or the week we do in San Antonio, which is June 22nd. But it's, Hank, we've just hit our 78,000th student, counting our SunPower program and Leadership Rocks and student leadership programs. So we're very, very excited. Just returned from Africa, where we had students in Botswana from 10 African nations. We're on our way to take our students to Israel. So this is an opportunity for students. It's the places they go, the people they meet, the books they read, and what they memorize. So we take them to Orlando for 101, then the next year they go to D.C. 201 with a White House briefing, Pentagon briefing, congressional briefing, Supreme Court briefings, and also learning the worldview and time management every year, adding to every year, building on that foundation. Then we go to London, Oxford, Normandy, Paris, then we take them to Rome, and Venice and Florence and Athens, and then, of course, Israel and Jordan. So this is a pretty exciting challenge where parents can invest, grandparents can invest in their middle school and high school students for those that are serious about wanting to know that they know that they know, how to think deeply and Christianly about the most critical issues of life and primarily about their future.
And we're going to have the information up at our website at equip.org. So if you did get the numbers, you'll find them on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll also have Dr. Jay Strack back from time to time. This is not something that is a nicety. This is a necessity. Student Leadership University, if we don't train our students are not going to be leading on the vanguard of change, but rather they'll simply be microcosms of the culture. Jay, thanks for the work that you do. We look forward to having you back on the broadcast in the very near future.
Thanks, Hank, for everything, buddy. God bless you.
God bless you, and we're going to be right back in just a few moments with your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you're hanging on, please be patient. We will get to you in just a few moments. The number to dial, as always, to have your question answered on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Be right back, so please don't touch that dial.
The study of human nature is one of perennial interest, raising many questions that are important to a Christian worldview. The contemporary movement of transhumanism views human nature as totally free, even to the altering of its very essence. Sociobiologists, on the other hand, hold that human behavior is determined and free will is an illusion.
To a society torn between two extremes, the Bible offers a sensible corrective that affirms real freedom within real limits. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal and learn more in John S. Hammett's article entitled Between Radical Freedom and Total Determinism, A Christian View of Human Nature. Start your subscription to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org.
We are engaged in a war. A war. Not a war with bombs and bullets, not even with power politics. This is a war with an invisible enemy, against the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And the only way to know victory over this enemy is to know the weaponry you have to fend him off. The Covering by Hank Hanegraaff is based upon Paul's words to the Ephesians commanding us to put on the armor of God. The Covering outlines this armor and its importance in our spiritual battles. He explains what it means to incorporate God's covering and the practical ways God delivers us from evil. Consider it your effective biblical battle plan to wage successful spiritual warfare. Call CRI and order Hank Hanegraaff's fascinating book, The Covering. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also order The Covering online by going to www.equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has put together the best articles from the Christian Research Journal into three books designed to equip you with a Christian worldview and help you become an effective witness. The book entitled What is Truth teaches you to counter the sweet poison of relativism that seeks to destroy truth and the people of the God of truth. Whose Ethics, Whose Morals weighs the trend of moral relativism and the notion that right and wrong are simply a matter of opinion. And Islam, What You Must Know, not only presents a true picture of Muslims in our community, but also ways to reach them for Christ. Order What is Truth, Whose Ethics, Whose Morals, and Islam, What You Must Know for a special package price by contacting the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or you can order this package online at equip.org. That's equip.org. After 10 years, the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, returns to the Vancouver, BC area on June 2nd. Joining Hank for one spectacular evening of teaching and worship is Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal, Elliot Miller, and Grammy Award-winning musician, Steve Camp. There will also be a question and answer session, so come prepared to ask your question. Reserve your free ticket by May 27th. You can register online at equip.org or by calling 877-768-2784, extension 100. Again, that's 877-768-2784, extension 100. Well, let's return now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Russell, listening on KTAA in Beckville, Texas. Hi, Russell.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I appreciate your ministry. My question is, it's a follow-up from a call you had yesterday about a book, Heaven is for Real.
Yeah.
And, of course, I take Scripture as my final authority, too, and I came home and I did some studying. And I was reading in Wayne Grudem, Systematic Theology, because I know God is not, he's omnipresent. And he said that heaven could be defined as heaven is the place where God most fully makes known his presence to bless. But my question to you is, we're in agreement that Christ has a resurrected body and he has ascended into heaven. So where would Christ's body be if there's not a place, physical place, heaven?
Well, remember that Jesus Christ is not in the ascension, ascending up at some speed such that he is now, no matter how fast he's going, not even out of our little universe yet, and probably struggling with oxygen deprivation. Rather, when we talk about Jesus Christ ascending into heaven, we are communicating the notion that Jesus Christ transcends time and space. And that is a very significant concept. We know that Jesus Christ is forever in flesh. And so we need to point out that Jesus ascended into heaven is a comment that does not apply that he's traveling through space, but again, that as the God-man, he transcends time and space, or put another way, heaven is not located in time and space. It exists in another dimension. Another point that should be made in this regard is that the physical universe does not exhaust reality. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that an effect, like the universe, has to have a cause greater than itself. And that is a self-evident fact, not only for those who are philosophically sophisticated, but for thinking people everywhere. So the notion that the creator of the universe transcends the universe should pose no problem to us whatsoever. And let me make one other point, and that is God often uses physical examples to point to spiritual realities. And so the physical fact of Christ's ascension points to the greater truth that he's now glorified in the presence of God, and that our glorification is divinely guaranteed in much the same fashion.
So we will be in agreement that Christ is sitting at God's right hand on the throne, as Stephen said, before he was stoned in heaven.
Well, yes, what we would say is that is a heavenly condescension. That is a way of communicating that Jesus Christ has ascended to the right hand of power. In the incarnation, Jesus Christ voluntarily limited the prerogatives of divinity without divesting himself of a single attribute of deity. Jesus now has been exalted so that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow. So he has again taken his rightful position of authority after completing the atonement for the sin of humankind through his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, through which he transcends time and space.
Okay, but I got lost in all that transcending and stuff, but I'm just wondering, do you concur that heaven is a place where Christ is now at God's right hand? I mean, is it a place or is it just a spiritual dimension? Because if it's just a spiritual dimension,
I answer that question by saying that Jesus Christ transcends time and space. But in terms of our reality as human beings, when we die, we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. There's a unnatural rending that takes place between body and soul. So to ask where a soul is a confusion of categories. Souls don't have awareness. They have awareness, but they don't have locational qualities. They're non-physical. They're non-corporeal.
Yeah,
so to ask where a soul is doesn't make any sense. But Jesus Christ, the God-man, has no problem whatsoever transcending time and space.
Yeah, my question wasn't where human souls were at after death. Mine was just on the conclusion, or the point was stated as heaven not being a place, and I was just, far as scripture tells me that there is a place. I mean, it's beyond our dimension, but as far as scripture goes, I think there's enough evidence to say that there is a heaven, even though God is omnipresent. He's not held to any one location, but I think it's best said that his presence is most known in heaven.
Well, you asked me for my opinion. I gave you my opinion. I disagree with yours, and you know, we can debate that vigorously without dividing over it. But let me make this point very, very clearly. Heaven is, in essence, what we look forward to. A new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. A time when the old order of things will be done away with, and all things will become new. A time in which paradise lost will become paradise restored. So heaven will be a place when we are physical beings again, which is to say that there's a time in which the souls of departed humans will return to their bodies. Those bodies will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. The universe itself will be transformed. It now groans in travail, and then heaven will be a place. It will be this universe restored so that it no longer is subject to the old order of things, but becomes subject to a new order of things. This is the biblical language to which we must appeal. So it is relevant for me to say that once there is an unnatural rending between body and soul at death, the soul goes to be with the Lord. And that is not a locational statement, but a relational statement. And that once again becomes a locational statement when the soul returns to the body, and then we have physical properties again, thus we can talk in locational terms again. But as I've made the qualification with Jesus Christ, when we talk about Jesus Christ, we're talking about the one who transcends time and space. And as I pointed out, to say Jesus ascended into heaven does not imply that he's traveling through space, but rather that as the God-man, he transcended time and space. Heaven is not located in time and space. Heaven exists in another dimension. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Richard, listening on KSIV in Missouri. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how you doing, Dr. Hanegraaff?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, I've listened to your program for a long time. Long-time listener here, and I don't miss the show, Harley. I got a question about, you know, this nuclear thing that's going on with these countries having nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, me and my nephews, you know, they were going to high school, and they dropped out because of the Darwinian, you know, theory and all that. And he was just talking about the teenagers and everything. And they keep asking me about this nuclear problem. Is the Lord going to actually allow planet Earth to be destroyed by nuclear warfare, or how are we going to be saved through that?
Well, remember that in a biblical worldview, there's no warrant for saying that the universe will be destroyed. There is warrant for saying that the universe will be redeemed.
Right.
God does not scrap things, he redeems them. So the universe that is now groaning in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and that's what we look forward to. So there's a time in which the Lord will return, and when he does, he will put all things to right.
Right.
Not only will we be resurrected, but the universe itself will be restored, and the older things will pass away, and all things will become new. As such, there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain.
Yeah, that's what I've been telling them. They've been kind of scared about all this, and we were just worried about the Earth itself, like, you know, Iran, and you got North Korea having all these nuclear warheads, and they're so scared. They just wanted to ask me, would Christ allow the Earth to be destroyed, or... You know, because the Book of Peter, you know, it says that the elements will melt in the fervent heat and all that. I mean, will he allow mankind to destroy our beautiful planet?
Again, the answer to that question is there is certainly the possibility of nuclear explosions or nuclear holocausts. And the reason we can say there's the possibility of that in the future is we've already faced that in the past. In 1945, the American government faced a very difficult situation. Wow. Japan was not going to realize that it was beaten. They weren't going to surrender. And by the way, this was for cultural reasons.
Wow.
They were prepared to fight to death or commit mass suicide.
Talking about Hiroshima, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also Nagasaki.
Right. Wow.
So, you know, the point is, in a fallen world, God faces similar choices, and it's easy to portray the evil that is done. It's less easy to portray the evil that has been averted, and that is the one that we should think about as Christians. Christians know that God, through the cross of Christ, took evil upon himself, and because of that, has provided a way for us to have a restoration. So the real thing that we should worry about is not the possibility of a nuclear holocaust. The real thing that we should worry about is people dying every single day and, in essence, facing a far more grim reality, and that is forever being separated from the love and grace and goodness of God. That is the horror that we face as a real possibility if we do not embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life. And we are the ones that are called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, most of us have been secret agents who have never blown our cover before the unregenerate world. A lot of you calling in from all over the United States and Canada. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, please be patient. If you're dialing the number to call right now and for the next hour to get your question answered right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast is 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners like you. I can't emphasize enough how much we need your support. We've been deficit spending for quite a number of months. We have to catch up. If we don't, we simply have to limit the range of our reach on stations around the United States and Canada. So please, if you can make a difference, if you love the Ring of Truth, we'll never be politically correct, but we'll do what we do because truth matters. If you believe in this ministry, stand with this ministry prayerfully, financially, you can do it on the World Wide Web at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion. Look forward to seeing you right here tomorrow with more of the show.
You've been listening to The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To hear more of The Bible Answer Man or to listen to archived broadcasts, just log on to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. To talk to a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Many people throughout history have declared themselves the Messiah. So how can we be sure that Jesus is in fact the one and only Messiah? In Hank Hanegraaff's newest booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, Hank gives seven memorable points of messianic identification that leave no doubt Jesus is the one. As the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle fit together perfectly to reveal a clear picture, so when we study messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, we see clearly the one and only face to emerge, the face of Jesus Christ. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support, we'll send you Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, to give you the assurance that no one but Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us now to pray." And he said to them,
"When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth.
The Lord's Prayer. We can rattle it off by heart. But at the same time, how many of us now struggle in our prayer life, searching for an intimate fellowship with God?
As human beings, we want instant success, instant formulas. But God wants something else. He wants intimate fellowship.
Learn to have a real relationship with the lover of your soul with Hank Hanegraaff's The Prayer of Jesus. Available on audio CD or in paperback with study guide as a thank you for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you visit us on the web at equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI.